And we are live.
Is that my, okay. Hi everyone. How's everyone doing today? Welcome to our first Stiff Advisory Committee meeting for years 23 through 25, which seems wow. And our first Stiff Advisory Committee meeting in person in many years. It's great to see some of you in person today. I'm Kate Wilson, and I work for the Lane Council of Governments, and I support LTD as our qualified entity for Lane County and help staff this committee. And you're going to hear me talk probably a little too much today, but then you'll have all the information. And then kind of at the end of this meeting, we'll elect a chair for the cycle and move forward with that person leading our meetings for the future. So quick, we're going to start off. If you can pull up the presentation, Camille. And I think go to the next slide, and we will actually, if you can go to two slides forward, we'll go ahead and start off and do a roll call. And I know we have some people that are on Zoom right now and some people here in person. So I'm just going to go down the list. And if you can say present, if you're here, and let us know you are, especially those of you on Zoom. Phil Barnhart.
I'm here.
Okay. Hoover Chambliss. Kelly Clark let me know that she would be running late, so I don't think she's here yet. Mike Eister.
Present.
Alma Jesus.
Present.
Joshua Kaczynski.
Present.
Susie Lacer. Sherry Moore. Ed Necker. Eugene Organ. Cosette Reese.
Present.
David Reeser is also unavailable. I think he's off in the mountains camping with his child right now, doing something really fun. Philip Shimo. And then do we have our non-voting members here, Vidal Francis?
Yes, I am here. I really wanted to be there in person, but my schedule just didn't make it happen. So maybe next month I'll show up, but thank you.
Great. And Caitlin Vargas?
It's Vargas. I'm here.
Vargas, sorry. Sorry, Caitlin. And Pete Knox. Hey, Pete. All right. Thank you, everyone. And then, yeah, so we are going to do a quick little agenda review. So we'll go through, we'll do our audience participation. I don't think there's anyone here in person today, but we'll see if there's anyone on Zoom that wants to speak. Then we'll talk a little bit about STIF, what it is. We'll talk a little bit about what the advisory committee's role is for each of the different STIF funds that we talk about. And then we'll talk about, we are going to actually elect chair and vice chair today. So that will be on the agenda. And then we will adjourn. So if there is any audience participation on Zoom.
I am not showing anyone indicating they would like to speak at this time.
Great. All right, then we can move on. Great. So I think for some folks, this will be a review for those of you who have served on the committee, and for others, I don't know if this will be the first time that you've seen this, but our advisory committee plays different roles depending on which type of STIF funds that we are looking at. So the majority of the work that this advisory committee will do will be looking at our STIF formula funds, which are 90% of the funds that are 90% of the funds collected by the state are distributed locally back to our different qualified entities. LTD is our qualified entity for our county. We're gonna talk about those funds more. And then we will get into talking about the other three types of funds a little bit further along. So we can go ahead and go next slide.
For the audio record, really quickly, Susan Lacer just joined the meeting virtually.
Thank you. Hi, Susie, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so really quick, for, like, as I said, the STIF formula funds, we will be looking at those closely this year. Right now, service providers in Lane County are probably busily working on applications that are due today to me. So I'm sure that there's nobody's going to be working late tonight, right? So at your next meeting, we will actually have providers come and tell you about the projects that they're applying for in their next cycle. One thing that has changed a little bit, we'll talk about a little bit more, is that we have previously just had a kind of employer-based fund. But as of this cycle, we now have an employer. We have really just kind of an overall stiff formula funds. But there is a slight bit of the distribution that's set aside for what we call the population-based funds now. And those were previously special transportation funds dollars. And we'll talk about that in just a minute and what that means for us. Next slide. So if you can see in this slide, previously starting in 2018, the state started collecting a payroll tax, and that's what has funded the STIF program for the last, since 2018, four plus years. And so now we have slightly changed how this is doing because this is a consolidated STIF program. So now there's money generated from a few other funds that you can see here, and then those get distributed out across the different funds. So overall, it becomes one large STIF program. And then we divide it out into this, the formula fund, the discretionary fund, the intercommunity fund, and then this resource center. And mainly those extra funds that were the cigarette tax, the non-highway gas tax, the ID card fees, those are all going partially into the population-based formula that was developed. Again, that was part of the special transportation fund program. I have the slide in here a lot, I think. So when we are thinking about formula funds this year, we're going to come back to the STIF advisory committee. So what's happening, as I said right now, is that service providers in our region are preparing applications for how they would like to spend STIF transit dollars for this upcoming cycle from July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2025. Which will feel so far away, but it's really tomorrow. And so right now, ODOT is estimating that from the money generated from those different pots of funding that I just showed up on the screen, you can see here about, we have total within our district, we have a little over $8 million and $8.6 million, across the whole county, is what ODOT is anticipating will be generated from those funds. So I will say that ODOT has also said that numbers have continued to run high. So there is so we will probably ask the STIF advisory committee to program more, assuming there's more applications for funding, to program an extra percentage of funds. The other thing that does happen with our STIF formula funds is that if some funds are not used in this cycle, they will roll over and can be reapplied for in the next cycle. So for instance, if this is going to be an example that's going to come up because of unfortunate delays across the country, but if a bus was not able to be delivered and paid for in this cycle because of major capital delays across the country, like I said, then that funding, let's say there was $1 million set aside for bus purchases and that doesn't get paid for in this cycle, then that money will roll over here into Lane County for the next cycle. And whoever applied for those funds would then need to reapply for those funds for the next cycle. So we have tried very hard to get clarity from ODOT around this, and we do have to reapply every year so every year right now at this point, we're starting forward with a new biennium, a new list of projects. So, at your meeting in 2 weeks, we will have not only the ODOT estimates, but we will also have an estimated amount of rollover in funds that we anticipate will be available for service providers to apply for funds. So again, this is probably much less than you'll see within 2 weeks from now, just because of the way the rollover works. And because I believe we've generated more this cycle than we originally anticipated as well. Is there any questions about this or anything I know I'm going through at a, yes, hi Mike.
If rollover funds are going to be added, wouldn't that make the Sums go up.
Yes, sums will go up. Yes.
And then the other question I had is, you said 8 million for in district. That's 7 million, 7.5 million for 24 and 8 million for 25. Is that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I said it wrong. I meant to say there'll be about 8 million across the whole county is what I meant to say, but yes. So about 7.6 is what ODOT is predicting for inside the LTD boundary.
For 24.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Phil Barnhart. Applications are due today, according to this schedule.
Yes.
Who makes applications?
That's a great question. That's a great question. LTD makes applications. LCOG has made application. I'll say who has made applications in the past. Generally, it has been, or the last few cycles, it has been LTD, LCOG, the City of Eugene, and the City of Cottage Grove were all recipients last time. Because of the consolidation with the STF fund, there is a little bit more flexibility on who can apply. So we're not exactly sure who we will receive applications from, and we won't know that until 12:01 tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, Josh.
So the funding for this cycle goes through the end of this year, or I'm sorry, the end of this fiscal year, right?
Yes.
Applications are due today.
Yes.
If someone doesn't expend funds, how do they reapply for those?
Yep. So that's a really great question. So I think a great thing that I have suggested, and I'm going to keep using the bus capital purchase as a good example, just because it's really well demonstrated around the country right now that the bus delays are being they're being 12 to 18 months, I think is what we are hearing. Is that about what LT, is that what LTD is hearing? So, so for instance, if LTD has a bus purchase already in, they're in the queue to receive that bus. Do you want to talk about it, Tom?
Yeah. Let me tell you what we're doing. So we apply for buses. We know we're not going to get some of it. So what we're doing is we're planning for conservative reasons, we're putting those same buses in the application we're preparing by tonight. And if those arrive before the end of the fiscal year, that we don't need that money. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's all we can do with the uncertainty. That's the full answer.
Thank you.
Do we have any Zoom questions from any of our committee members? Okay, great. All right, so I think that's all on this slide, and we can move on. So, so I also want to call out the population-based funds, as I've said, are for programs that enhance services for older adults and people with disabilities. And this is a new portion of this, of the formula funds. And so of that, those, that money that you just saw in the previous slide, you can see how much ODOT is recommending that's set aside as a minimum for the population-based funds that are for programs that enhance services for older adults and people with disabilities. So this is an additional, for those of you who have served on the committee in the past, this will be an additional requirement to look for within the projects and to see, because we would want to make sure that we spend a minimum amount of this on these services. So it's within that overall bigger pot. I think probably that the way I have been thinking about it's the easiest is that it's similarly, when you are as an advisory committee or reviewing, one of the rules of STIF is that 1% of all funds have to be spent on student transit. This is a similar type requirement that this amount of funds has to be sent on population-based projects that are, again, services for older adults and people with disabilities. Any questions about that?
I do have just a comment. The services don't directly have to impact the adult or older individual, older adults or folks with disabilities, but it can also be where in helping that population or that group, if you will, it also helps out other ones, other folks like younger people or what's not, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't fully understand your question. Or didn't, it's hard to hear you.
Can you go back to the previous slide?
Yes. I think it's actually forward, Camille. I think it ended up going.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
You said program enhanced services for older adults and people with disabilities, right?
Yes.
Okay. So even though you have services for older adults and people with disabilities that you're targeting for this percentage or this allocated amount to hit, even if you're in reaching that amount, if in helping out that older adults and people with disabilities, it also benefits other individuals, that still would be acceptable, correct?
Yes. Okay. That would be acceptable. And I'm looking at Cosette also as our expert on this because she served on the consolidation committee before the two funds. So I might sometimes ask her but yes, that is correct. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if folks are
Tom, can you go to the mic? No worries.
I need a lot of training. I just want to make sure, and it's an important question, but all thanks for asking it. But just the types of services that we operate, and because I can speak to this with respect to our ADA paratransit service, that's geared toward a certain population. set of population groups. There are some public services that we could offer that serve those same people, but could be written by people outside of that population group. And that's a good question to understand. Yes, we can do that. For what it's worth.
Yes, thank you. All right, I think we can. All right, I think I'm not going to read all eight of these criteria. I think that I do want to point out a few things just as the STIF Advisory Committee is reviewing projects. And again, you'll get a packet next week that will have a list of all the projects that are being that funds are being requested for. You'll be asked to think about this prioritization criteria and to make sure that projects meet these criteria as you're going through and reviewing projects. Again, number H has been added. That is the implementation of the programs to enhance the services for older adults and people with disabilities. The other seven criteria are the criteria that have existed in the past for the STIF funds, for the STIF formula funds. And then just really quick, I want to talk a little bit about sub-allocation funding. So one of the requirements for what the STIF rules have required is that service providers actually meet before you all meet as the STIF Advisory Committee, and they look at how all the funds are generated across the county. And then within, the ODOT already clarifies that what funding is generated within LTD boundary and what is generated outside of the LTD boundary. But then the providers have a conversation about if they want to look any more at how that's sub-allocated to think about how projects are delivered. So the providers had a meeting last month and decided that more generally they want to think about service in a more, they didn't want to sub-allocate it down any further. They just wanted to think about it in terms of this is in the boundary and this is out of the boundary. And I think that's really because providers in our county are really committed to thinking about the interconnectedness of transit across the different counties. But generally, this sub-allocation is your starting point as an advisory committee. So you would need to think about what they have recommended as the starting point as you're reviewing projects in specific areas. But because this is kind of already what the minimum is of what ODOT has provided, so it's a little bit different than in some other areas across the state. All right, so really quick, I just realized how poorly the slide reads. In terms of, I don't think any of us can probably read this, but So ODOT did open the notice of solicitation for the formula funds in August. And then in early September, LCOC staff sent out a call for projects. Originally, we wanted to have the applications in a few weeks ago. We've changed that deadline. So now that deadline is due today, as we said. So the formula funds are due today. Then we'll talk a little bit more about your schedule. You'll be reviewing the formula funds applications with, and we anticipate that you will be able to make a recommendation to the LTD Board of Directors by mid-December. You have a number of meetings scheduled. We don't know if we will need all of those meetings, but they're there if needed. Then LTD Board of Directors would approve the final SIF plan in early January. And then ODOT has a deadline of January 16th that SIF plans are due. So that's a little bit earlier than last cycle, which is, and everything feels a little bit crunched this timeline, but that is what it is. So we are moving forward and getting it done. Yep. So just a quick reminder, what you will do, you will hear from projects from different providers across the county, and you will review, make sure that they meet the criteria laid out by ODOT in the rules. And then you will prioritize projects as needed to say these are our top priority, assuming because a lot of the formula funds are based on employer payroll tax, that could, if we do hit a recession or something, we do need to know if we don't bring in all the funds that ODOT anticipates, we would want to have projects prioritized. And you will come to an agreement and then make a written recommendation to the LTD board to say these are the projects we think should move forward into the SIF plan. And then the LTD board will vote on that. And if for some reason they decided not to go through your recommendation, they would have to have a clear reason for that, that they lay out for ODOT. Any questions about that process or your timeline or? Okay, great. I think we just talked about that. This is a little bit more detail also about that. So we can go ahead and move past that one. And then I'm really going to briefly talk about the discretionary, the inner community, and the FTA section 5311F inner city. And I'm only briefly going to talk about these because we are not going to touch, we're not going to actually look at these applications for a little bit. I know it's hard to say, hey, this is what you're going to do 3 months from now. But so right now, I think you can go on to the next slide, Camille. Yeah, so briefly talking about the SIF discretionary funds. So what's going to happen actually with discretionary in our community is that providers across the entire state sent a letter of interest, a letter of intent to ODOT last week saying these are the projects we plan to apply for the SIF discretionary inner community and 5311F funds. ODOT will then respond to those recipients and open up an application window for them. So they'll actually apply for those funds. And I think those are due November 30th. We'll probably get into that in a minute. And then ODOT will review those applications and then they will send them to you sometime in December or January. And you all will weigh in on those and say, they will basically send every application that's submitted in Lane County to you. And you can say, yes, we think this is a good project. And if you can choose to prioritize, if you would like, for each of those, for the SIF discretionary and for the SIF inner community. These three projects get linked, or types of funding get linked together a lot because it's one application to ODOT. The 5311F, you all actually, because that's a federal fund, you actually don't have to comment on the ones that are just applying for the 5311F. So, but the discretionary funds, these are projects, capital projects, transit adjacent projects. These are pilot operation projects, not expected to be long-term funded through the discretionary fund, kind of one-off projects that you can think about. And then the intercommunity fund. So these are predominantly serving or providing access to and from rural communities. A good example of the intercommunity fund is the link lane services that are partially funded through the formula funds and through the intercommunity funds that have been funded that way for the last two cycles. And then the 5311F inner city funds, These are for long distance routes. A good example of this is the Diamond Express that has been funded through the 5311F. And I will, again, I don't want to just read the slides to you, but I will make the slides available to everyone after the presentation if anyone has questions about these. And we will review these again in December or January and talk about how these different programs work. So as I said, the applications are going to be due to ODOT on November 30th. And so your recommendations will be due, then ODOT will return around and give them to you. Those recommendations will be due, I think, the end of January. And then the last cycle, those were very competitive funds. They were very oversubscribed. So I think just being aware of that. And then a group of staff from ODOT does a selection. They have a selection committee, and then PTAC reviews those in March. And then OTC reviews those and makes a decision on those in April of next year. So, So again, just kind of a reminder of what you all will be doing through this process. It's like I already said, you're reviewing, prioritizing the formula fund. And then for the discretionary and our community, you'll provide a written recommendation to the board. Any questions about those funds? Really flying through this. All right, so now we need to discuss electing a chair and a vice chair. We have our wonderful chair who has served for the last two cycles with us today.
I recommend the job, it's great.
And then actually our former vice chair is no longer on the committee. And so I actually probably should have had, I think you all should have the agenda out in front of you and you can see the list of names that are in the agenda. If anyone would like to make a motion to recommend someone or to votes to recommend someone. Yes, Phil.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Mike Eister for chair.
Do I have a second for voting for?
Second that, Zelma.
All right, is there any other nominations?
I'm happy to accept this, but I would really like to invite anybody else who might even be remotely interested in doing this.
You're just so good at it, Mike. No one else wants to follow you. All right, so I actually, I think we can go ahead and do a vote today. We don't have a full voting quorum right now, I think, of our voting members. So I think we could probably at least, we can, for the moment, probably elect you and then officially elect you at our next meeting, I think, as you know, if
I think you call that interim.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
And I would move that we do that by acclamation.
You okay?
That we
you actually have a quorum. There's 13 voting members and we have 7 present.
Oh, we do have 7 now. Oh, okay, we do have 7. Great. Then if we have a quorum, then okay, great. I think I must have miscounted, or maybe somebody came in late.
Since I haven't seen a whole lot of people rushing forward to contest this election, I would move that we elect Mike Eister by acclamation. And I think all you need to do is ask for objections. And if you don't get any, that's done.
Great. Do I have any objections? I'm glad that we have you on this committee, Phil. Then, all right, then great. Then Mike, do you want to go ahead and take over and help and run this, selecting our vice chair?
Okay.
You do it if you want. But.
Who would like to be nominated to be vice? Well, how about if I just solicit nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Phil Barnhart.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay.
So we're only going to have men, huh?
I was kind of thinking about we might like a little balance. We could nominate someone else as well. Would anybody like to nominate, say, like Alma, for example?
I'll nominate Susie.
Okay, we have one. We have one nomination on the floor. We have another one, but with no second. And I don't know if we even need a second for a nomination. Okay. So we have two nominations. And at this point, rather than voting, maybe we ought to just ask the two nominees about your interest in serving. And
I can simply say I'd be very happy to have Susie serve as vice chair.
Susie, that's the ball's in your court.
And I can say I would be equally happy to have Phil serve, but I am more than willing to serve as vice chair. Thank you.
Okay, I think I heard you say you'd be willing to serve as vice chair.
Yes.
I think Phil would, if we twist his arm, but I think he'd be just as happy to see you serve as vice chair as well.
In the interest of balance.
There we go.
Right.
Okay, so can we vote on Susie's nomination for vice chair? All in favor, please raise your hand and say aye. So we can.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we have a vice chair.
Great.
Now, call for projects, or let's see, where are we on this thing?
Yeah. Meeting schedule.
Next meeting schedule. I think.
And I think you've pretty well provided that information for us. So that's, it is what it is. Call for projects.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I
could. Yeah.
I will note that I am out of town during the next two meeting times. I will attempt to join the meeting remotely, but I can't promise that I'll be able to do that. Just okay. So you know.
Thanks. Maybe we should send a tech with you so that we can make sure.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Okay, so there's the schedule. Please keep Kate informed if you have something that comes up. What were you looking for a call for projects?
I think I already talked about it earlier. Yeah. So. Okay.
Well, I think we know pretty much what we're doing next. And if there's no other business, I'll say, last call for business before I bring down the gavel and call our meeting to a close. Thanks everybody for being here, and thanks for your interest and continued participation until we wrap this up. Meeting adjourned. It is 4:05 p.m.
Hey,
yeah,
expeditiously done.
That's why you keep getting elected.